Please listen carefully.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. My name is Erica, and I am the creator of Bring Your Own Kombucha. You can find me on Instagram. You can go to my website, and obviously you're listening in, so you know that I'm also on iTunes. Before I introduce today's guest, I just want to give you guys a little bit of a sneak peek of a new endeavor that I am just starting out. And if you hear Lizzie shrieking in the background, I apologize. She's munching away in some cucumbers. So as you may or may not know, I am an attorney by trade and I blog on the side, and I have decided to kind of combine those two worlds, and I'm creating a course to teach you how to protect your brand and protect yourself as an influencer. So that is going to be launching on October 24th. I'm going to be covering everything from the legalities of an email list. Like, you can't just add somebody to your email list, even if they're a friend or something like that. That actually breaks the law. You have to include certain criteria when you do giveaways, especially when you're working for brands. When you are talking about a product and you're making recommendations or assertions about them, you know, for collagen, for instance, you have to be very careful about the terminology and that it coincides with what the FDA also regulates. So there are a lot of nuances to being an influencer, being a blogger, and protecting yourself as a brand and business owner. And I'm really excited to bring this course to you. If you would like to be notified when it goes live, just shoot me an email at byokblog@gmail.com. And I'd be super happy to add you to the list. So today's podcast guest is Kimberly Kramer. We actually went to high school together. And she's also a mama to three and a wife and a business owner of Market Space, which is a really unique brand and company. So I'm going to let her give you guys all the details. But I just wanted to jump in and say, make sure you head over to the show notes and you follow her. Her and her husband are running this great business, and I think you'll be intrigued by it. So let's jump in. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. I just wanted to jump in after listening to the audio. I just wanted to clarify that we recorded this at an event, so you might hear a lot of chatter in the background, but you can definitely hear Kim still and hear her powerful journey. So I hope that you guys enjoy this episode. Hi, Kim. Welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's jump right in. Here we are at Market Space Vendor Events. You guys are having a really great event at a brewery today. So yes. Why don't you start off by telling us what you guys do and why everyone's here today?
Sure. So today we are at Lone Eagle Brewing in Flemington, New Jersey. It's a brewery that's been open for a couple of years now, and it's one of our favorites to do events at. Market Space Vendor Events is a network of over 2,000 artisans and small business owners. And those small business owners range from things like food trucks to, chainsaw carvers and artists who have started their own business, whether it's sustainable goods or just handmade. And we are sort of nomadic. We're nomadic markets. We set up throughout the state of New Jersey at different venues and really give our artists the chance to show their product at really fun and unique venues.
Very cool. So how did you
start this? Because this is kind of like a niche that you guys have tapped into that I have never seen before. Maybe you have, but I just have never seen that before. So I'm really interested to hear how this all came about.
Sure. When I was working full time, I had my twins already and I was commuting into the city. I'd come home from work and then I'd make growth charts, hand-painted wood, and I'd do that with my husband, Kevin. We'd be just in our basement after getting the kids to bed, sanding and staining wood and going to in-person markets or selling them on our Etsy shop. And we found that at a lot of the in-person markets we went to, they were either not well organized or the promoter wasn't there. People didn't understand why we were where we were. It just sort of looked kind of like a collective of people congregating at a place with no purpose. So he turned to me and said, you can do this. You know, you're a very organized person. I have a background working for a startup company. I have also worked in HR, and his background is in HR. So we definitely have that customer service angle and marketing angle that we're able to promote our artisans and our events.
So who runs the company right now? And more specifically, like, who does, like, the social media? Who does, like, the contract with the different, like, breweries and locations that you work at? Like, can you break it down for us a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So I am the owner of the business. We are a certified woman-owned small business. And I do everything from the content that we post on social to going out and scoping out new venues, meeting with the owners, and getting the contract with them and kind of pitching to them what it is that we do. Kevin is the one that kind of mans the Instagram stories. He'll help with some of the admin stuff, but he still works full time.
And how do you advertise for the event? Because I feel like in this day and age, like, people don't put ads in the newspaper anymore. Like, how do you get the word out about, you know, these big organized events?
Yeah, it is. People have sort of moved away from newspaper, but people, not everyone is on social media. So the ads that we do are both digital and print.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
We do a lot of posters. It's still kind of grassroots, where we go out and we'll put posters in windows to let people know. We do signs in different areas. Some of the bigger events get a billboard, but we also run the social media campaigns, and we have a list of probably 40 or 50 calendar sites that we post to as well.
Wow, it's so interesting, especially because you guys travel. So you really have to, like, cover the area that you're in to get, you know, that market out there. So I could see that being, like, a little bit challenging,
yes,
maybe.
Yes, that is probably one of our biggest challenges, is that we're essentially reinventing the wheel every time we do a market. Because some of the longer-standing markets, you know, we're not the first people to do this. There are definitely art shows that happen throughout New Jersey and throughout the country. And they're in the same place, the same weekend of the same month every year. So people kind of come to expect that. And those are fantastic. So they're some of the best organized and well-run art shows there are.
Yeah.
But because we're putting a spin on it to have it be in a unique place, have it be at a brewery or, you know, a new brewery that's opening, we kind of have to get behind that and make sure that we're appropriately marketing the event and sending out postcards that are in that target demographic that say, you know what, we have 5 events that are going to be in Hunterdon County. Mm-hmm. Let's send these 5 events on the postcard to those people, as opposed to sending out postcards to the entire state of New Jersey and just hoping that somebody catches on and says, I want to go there.
Yeah.
You know, it's more targeted than that.
Yeah, that definitely seems like it's super strategic.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about today's, let's chat a little bit more about today's event. So what vendors are here, what can people expect, and even from, like, future events, like, what kind of vendors show up?
So we started about 2 years ago in 2017, and some of the artists that are here today are those who signed on with us basically from the beginning, and they don't have to commit to doing every one of our events. They can pick and choose which they'd like to do. But we've kind of built that core relationship with a handful of people, and they follow us to the different markets we have. So if you were to go upstairs to the loft today at Lone Eagle Brewing, you would see 7 Artisan Street. That's Minnie. And she works in the textile industry by day and then has her small business where she's taking discarded textiles and upcycling those into bags, totes, She does scarves and things, and she adds an element of embroidery to them. She's is very active with charities and giving back, and firmly believes in a sustainable lifestyle. So she's one of the vendors we have today. We also have silversmiths, we have jewelers, we have Bang It Out Design. She kind of puts sassy sayings on sterling silver jewelry, or we have Barb B jewelry. She's here. We have Lee and Lo. They make jewelry, they make bows. We have Southern Chic Design. So it's anything from jewelry to wood carving. We have Angry Nimbus, who does a really cool fractal burn, where basically it's almost like electrocuting the wood, and it makes sort of a fern or lightning design in the wood. So we have some of their products here today. We have White House Station's hot sauce. So anything from kind of food products that are all handmade to a wood craft, or you know, we have a metal crafter upstairs as well. So
very cool. I feel like there's something for everyone here.
Yes, absolutely. We try to balance that, so it's not all one product, or not specifically geared to women, especially being in a brewery. We find there are a lot of couples that come out, so it kind of makes sense to target both of them. You know,
that's
the guys
actually
came back
so
and have a beer.
Like, come on, honey, give me your wallet, go get a beer. I'm going to go shop.
And the cool thing about the brewery events that we do is that you can get your beer and shop the market at the same time. There's something to be said about that social aspect, and the trends for shopping today, of course, has moved to online shopping as opposed to brick and mortar. But when people are going out to in-person events to shop, it's more of an experience where they want it to be an all-inclusive thing. And that's why events like Winter Village at the Red Mill Museum that we do for the holidays, that becomes such an immersion, where we have horse and carriage rides, and we have a chainsaw carver, and we have a brewery that's there serving. We have floral design and photo booths and things.
Let's chat a little bit more about being an entrepreneur and being a mom, as I'm holding Lizzie in my lap because she was not having it. How do you find time to balance being a mom, because you have twins and a toddler?
Yes.
And you also, you're a wife, you know, you run the household. I can't even imagine. Like, give me all your advice.
Yeah, I wish I had advice. I feel like having twins right out the gate kind of set me up for knowing how busy things can be, and then I adjusted to life with twins, so then having a singleton after that was like, oh, this is easy. But in all seriousness, it's just something that I'm very fortunate. I'm able to be home with my kids during the week, and I now have Noah in school 2 days a week, so that kind
so
of
lucky.
Helps. Yeah, so I can schedule my calls around then. A lot of the work that we do is after hours, which is why we have a chat feature on our site, because once the kids go to bed, we're able to dedicate time to scheduling things. Some of the apps that are out there, like Buffer, are just so instrumental in what we do, that we can schedule posts and have things ready to go for the next day. So I'm able to sit and focus and write content, but have it be pushed to Instagram and Facebook instead of, you know, trying to think in the moment while my kids need, you know, their lunch and their water and everything. So my twins are in school. You know, of course, over summer break, it is a little bit more challenging for me.
Yes.
I rely on nap time a lot. But yeah, we try to do that. And then the events themselves are on weekends, so I have the help of family for watching them. And then, of course, Kevin's here to help me on weekends, too.
Okay, so what are some of the challenges that you have faced as an entrepreneur? Like, what are some pros and cons? I know that it's kind of like glorified in our generation to like be an entrepreneur, but really behind the scenes, it's like hard work.
Yeah.
Not sitting at home, watching Housewives, drinking wine, just like, you know, casually looking at your computer. You're really working hard.
Yeah.
So I would love if you could share a little bit more about that, like, for you.
Yeah, sure. So I guess the biggest challenge is that there is no one-size-fits-all manual on how to start a business. I literally went to the library and checked out books because I wanted to know how to legally start a business in New Jersey and make sure that we did everything by the books. So that's really how I started. I read a lot of articles online. I watched other people talking about how they started their business. And because there is no manual that tells you how to do it, everything is trial and error. Even if you're, I would advise that people starting a business and other entrepreneurs don't reinvent the wheel, and you try to look for, I'm sure you know someone who owns a business, or in some capacity you have a connection to another person who owns a business, and they can point you in the right direction, but it's never going to be exactly the same as what they do. But that being said, I think it's so important for you to tap your resources when you are an entrepreneur starting a business. You can barter services with other people who maybe they have logo design as their business. You can talk to them about logo design in exchange for whatever it is that your product is. There are definitely people out there to advise you. And I tell everyone the best things to do are practice or pivot. So if you try something and it's not working, figure out what is the next step and then pivot. And, you know, there are no mistakes. We're all learning as we go. But figure out what's working for you and what's not working, and kind of change gears a little bit and just refocus on what does work really well for you. And then eventually you'll get the swing of things and you'll just start building on that success.
So when did you know that it was time to like up-level your business? Because I feel like there are a lot of entrepreneurs, say like on Etsy, and they're just doing this from home, and it's like, you know, it's a small scale. But then at some point you grow so much where you're like, all right, I need to, you know, be turning this into an LLC and filing taxes and protecting my brand and my name. So at what point was that for you?
Right off the bat, we started as a sole proprietorship just because we had this dream. And I say we, but really, you know, Kevin pushed me to do all of this and put everything in my name because I was the one that was home. And I, you know, so it was something for me to do so I could have my own identity. So we started as a sole proprietor, which was, you know, myself. And after about 9 months to a year in the business, we realized that it was growing really quickly. Just in 2 years, like I said, we have over 2,000 artists. We have some long-standing contracts.
Incredible.
Yeah, yeah. So it grew really quickly. And we got to a point where, you know, we are fully insured and just things were moving in that direction where we just decided, you know what, it's better for me to be an LLC. So then I applied for the Certified Women-Owned Small Business and the LLC. I then ended up trademarking our name as well because, you know, there comes a time when people use names that are similar to yours or, you know, very, very close to yours or the same as yours. And because you've worked so hard to establish that brand, you really need to protect your assets and what you've worked so hard on so far.
Absolutely. So what, have there been any other challenges or anything that going back you would have done differently when growing your brand? Or do you feel like you've really been able to, you know, pause and pivot like you advise?
Yeah, I mean, we have to learn pretty quickly what's working and not working for us because the well-being and livelihood of other small business owners is dependent upon what we do and the decisions we make for every event. So it's not just us. It's not like I can walk into an event and if it's not good, say, oh, well, it was just my Saturday or my Sunday that was wasted. It's the Saturday and Sunday of so many other small business owners. So we have to be smart in the choices we make. And I like to think that we are pretty smart in what we're doing. When we find something that works, we definitely capture that and utilize that again and try to keep doing that. We're also taking marketing courses, even though I have a background in marketing and we both have the HR backgrounds, there's always things we can be doing better. So we try to figure out whether there's another podcast we can watch or there's a course we can sign up for, something that seems to be working for other people, then we do it. And we also strongly value the opinion of our artists. So when they come to us and say, hey, there's a really great venue in such and such town, you should look into it. We encourage them to give us that feedback, and then we give them feedback on how they can get things going for their business too. So it's kind of that symbiotic relationship. And we offer them free space if they help us secure a contract for a new venue. So that kind of keeps things fresh too, where, you know, yes, we're finding venues that work really well for us and then we have a long-standing contract with them, but we're also open to new venues. And so we encourage them to help us be on the lookout because I'm one person and I can't be everywhere. So if they've done a market somewhere or they live in a certain town that they know has a strong art presence that would appreciate a market like ours, we take that feedback and say, okay, let's check it out. Is it worth it for us to do a market there? And we kind of build on that.
I can't believe everything that goes into running this business and you being able to do it from home. It really is incredible that you are like a one-man show.
Thank you.
One-woman show.
Yeah, thank you.
So where do you see market space vendors in the future? Like, do you see it being, like, I don't know, across the country? Do you see it being a weekend event, like, what is your vision? Do you have anything in mind?
Yeah, I mean, I would love that. You know, one of the things that we do for the holidays is that we rent a storefront in Westfield, New Jersey, where it runs solely on the weekends, so we're closed during the weekdays, but it's a revolving market, and people really appreciate us using not only vacant storefront space that wasn't otherwise being used, but that we have different artists coming with us each weekend. I'd love to be able to have a store long-term or an art space long-term.
Yeah.
But I love doing the markets too because, like I said earlier, it's nomadic. We're in all different counties. We're in all different areas, different times of year. We absolutely would love to be able to grow to take all the venues on that come to us and say, we really want you to run something for us.
Yeah.
So to be able to have the staff to do that. We were talking on the way here about getting a trailer and having a trailer that we can bring to our events because we know what goes into being the small business artist and to focus on your product. So to have people not have to bring a table or a tent to an event would be one less stressor for them. So to be able to offer that for them. But we have one truck right now. So where would we put everything? We would need a trailer. So just in terms of growth, things that we can offer to the artists to make their lives, their business easier and better, that's definitely what we'd love to be able to do. And then having something like a store, something where I can be working during the week, but home for my kids as well.
Yeah.
I'd love to have that. And yeah, to be able to branch out to other states, you know, back to what some of the challenges we run into, because of a lot of the events that we do are focused with either a partnership with a brewery or something like that, a lot of the ABC regulations in New Jersey kind of influence what we do. And it's not the same across the country. So New York be more lax, where New Jersey is more strict on something. So to be able to branch out, we'd love to be able to do that. But that being said, I would need to have that knowledge of what the brewery laws are in these states too, because we'd love to keep everything flowing, but we need to be compliant with their regulations as well.
Right, and that takes a lot of resources.
Yes.
That's incredible. I loved hearing your story. So I have one last question for you.
Sure.
And that is, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I have a favorite. I don't know. I just think it's really awesome. A lot of benefits. We saw a few yesterday, and we actually tagged you in a picture of it because
that
was really cool.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but I don't know if I have a favorite.
That's fair. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.